Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jane, for that prayer. We really do appreciate you intercessors. You know, you intercessors are the power behind us getting to see God do miracles and wonders when we travel around and minister. I just can't tell you how much we appreciate your prayers for us and how much peace it gives us to know that you're praying for us, that you're interceding. Keep it up, because everywhere we go, we see God move in miraculous ways, and I know it's because of your prayers. So keep the prayers coming. So tonight, I want to share with you a little bit about our trip to Uganda. We got back from Uganda about a month ago, and I want to tell you about some of the miracles that we saw, but I want to do it kind of from a different perspective tonight. I want to do it from a perspective of lessons learned, things that we saw that we learned from on this trip. I hope these observations will help you as much as they've helped me. We went with our Bishop Chuck Jones to Uganda. It was a kind of a two-part trip. The first part of the trip had about 10 folks in the team, and then four other people were added for the second half of the trip. The first half of the trip, we were ministering in CEC churches up in the source of the Nile area. For those of you familiar with the area, we were in Jinja and in Bali. The idea was to minister in those CEC churches and just encourage them along the way. And then the second half of the trip, we went to Rentobo, which is down in southwest Uganda, and we ministered there in a revival conference. Actually, we were sort of the prayer team for that revival conference. At the conference, they estimated that there was about 25,000 people all total that attended over the 5 days. I think at any given time, there probably weren't more than 10, maybe 15,000. But I'll tell you, on the last day, the fellow that put on the conference, the man that was in charge of it, on the last day, he asked a question of everybody that was there. There were probably 10,000 people there. He said, "How many of you during this conference have received healing of some kind? If you have, wave your arms." And I'll tell you, it brought tears to my eyes. About 75% of the people at that conference were waving their hands enthusiastically. Some of the folks were jumping up and down, smiling. We got to watch God heal literally thousands of people at that conference. And that's the kind of thing, that's the power of God moving that we were able to, I can't really say operate in. We were just watching as God moved and did his miracles. We were watching Jesus, who lives in us, do the miracles. We were watching Jesus that lives in us and through us do the works that he wanted to do and to show his love to so many broken and hurting people. It was wonderful. Well, back to the first part of the trip, we went to a diocese, and I'm not going to give you any details about this because I don't want anybody trying to guess who this might be, but we went to a diocese that was under the authority of a bishop, and this bishop seems to think that the United States is his source and his provision, and that if he could just get more money and support from the United States, then he could do more things there in his diocese. Every time his priest come to him with a problem or want something done, he says, "Well, you know, if we just had more support from the U.S., if we just had more money coming in, then we'd be able to build that conference center or finish building that church or hold that crusade, the citywide crusade that we want to hold." And so everywhere we went in that diocese, all we heard from the priests, from the lay leaders, from the ministry leaders was how much they need more support from the U.S. and how many things they could do if they just had money from the U.S. They were begging for this project here, those three projects there. As we prayed for people in that diocese, and I was able to kind of look back toward the end of the trip and realize that, you know what, when we prayed for the folks there, they just didn't receive much. It was not uncommon for them to get a partial healing, but not a complete healing, or maybe no touch at all. At first, I thought it was me. We just weren't seeing the miracles there that we saw in other places. I don't know how to describe it. There was just kind of a barrier there, a darkness that we just couldn't seem to get through. It was just a hindrance to the move of the Holy Spirit. And then, a couple of days later, we went to a different diocese, And man, it was all the difference in the world. It was open. Miracles were happening everywhere. When we'd talk to the people, instead of them grumbling and complaining about how they didn't have enough, all we heard from them was how much God had blessed them and what God was doing and all the miracles that were happening and how they were looking forward to more miracles with us. And boy, sure enough, when we prayed for them, it was weird, unusual if anybody didn't get healed. That bishop in that diocese never asks us for money. He never begs. Although we do try to give money as much as we can to every diocese there in Africa. It was interesting just to see the difference in leadership and what difference it made and how the people live. Now, listen, those people weren't particularly better off than the first group we saw. Their attitude was just totally different, and it allowed God to bless them. And as I look back on it, I realize that first group was doing a lot of grumbling and complaining. And you know, if you look in the Old Testament, especially the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel would grumble and complain, now they would make their complaints against Moses, but God took it personally. He said, you're grumbling and complaining against me. And he said, because you're doing that, you're cursing yourself and you're keeping me from being able to bless you. I mean, the children of Israel became chronic complainers. They complained about everything. And why would they take it out on Moses? He was just the one that was doing what God told him to do. It wasn't Moses that was leading them. It was God that was leading them. And so, boy, when they grumbled and complained, God just wasn't able to bless them. It didn't work out well for them because of their grumbling and complaining. And you know what? That's what we do when we complain. What we're really doing is saying, hey, God, you're not doing things right. You know, if you were doing things right, then I wouldn't have to complain. Everything would be going smooth, but it's not. And so it's your fault somehow, and I'm upset with you about it. I'm smarter than you. I know what's best for me, and this isn't it. What's wrong with you, God? It's like we want to take control back from God because he's not doing a good enough job. Listen, when we do that, we call down curses on ourselves. Debbie and I have lived through this. At one time we had a curse of pantry moths, and then it was a curse of roaches, and then a curse of gnats. And we had to repent and get that cleaned up. I promise you, your grumbling and complaining isn't going to make you happy, and it's not going to make God happy either. As we watch in these churches, their grumbling and complaining just brought a cloud over their churches. But in those other churches, it was like God was free to do good things for them. He was free to bless them because they weren't grumbling and complaining. They were happy with what God had given them. So anyway, that was kind of one of the first lessons learned. Something interesting happened. One of the very first churches we went to and we ministered in, there were three ladies with us that had never been on a mission trip like this before in their lives. And there at the first church, Bishop Chuck said, you know, this is how Jesus proclaimed the gospel. He would come into an area. He would say, hey, everybody, I got good news for you. The kingdom of God is here and you can be part of it. Now, let me show you what it's like here in the kingdom. And so he told this church that, and then he said, and so before I start preaching, I want to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Who here is deaf? Deaf in one ear or both ears? If you are, come on up front. And so eventually three ladies came up front that said they couldn't hear well. And what the bishop did was he looked over at these three team members that had never been on a trip like this before, and he said, okay, I want each of you to pick one of these ladies out and pray for them. And you could see they're going, what? Me? Deaf? What? But of course, you know, it's Jesus operating in us, so it's not really us, and maybe they eventually figured that out. But anyway, they prayed for these ladies, and within a few minutes, all three ladies were hearing just fine. Now, these are local people, so they know whether or not these folks were deaf. They know whether or not they can hear now. It was wonderful to watch this. After these three ladies started hearing, another little boy came up. He was deaf in one ear. And so Bishop got me and one of these other ladies to take him out and pray for him. And sure enough, he started hearing too. These ladies, of course, their first thought was, what do you mean? I can't do that. Well, of course, that's true. You can't do that. Only Jesus operating in and through us can bring these miracles about. But when we let him live through us, it's easy for him to do that. All we got to do is suit up and show up. You know, command those ears to be opened in Jesus' name. Let him take care of the rest of it. And matter of fact, to illustrate this to people, every time there was a line of people for us to pray for, you know, I had a line in front of me of people that needed prayer, I would pick out one or two, sometimes three or four of the people in that line, and I'd bring them up and I would read to them Mark 16, 17, and 18 and say, look, Jesus wants to anoint every believer to lay hands on the sick and see him recover and to cast out demons. I'm going to anoint your hands to do that. And then what I do is instead of me praying for the people, I would get these folks to pray for the people, and they would watch people be healed at their hands. This was Jesus working through them. It was amazing to watch the transformation. They would start off striving and praying and loud and shaking and trying to pray long prayers. And I'd say, no, no, we don't need to pray long. We don't need to pray loud. We're going to pray for about 30 seconds for this person, a prayer of commandment, and then we're going to ask them how they're doing. And if they're completely healed, we'll go to the next one. If they're not completely healed, we're going to pray again. And we'll do that maybe two or three times until they're healed or till the Lord tells us to go on. And so by the end of the line, they were calm. They were praying quietly. They'd pray for about 30 seconds. They would ask, how are you doing? And I mean, they were watching person after person after person get healed and delivered. It was wonderful. Now, most of these folks that I asked to help me pray were reluctant to start with. But this is the lesson learned. God will use every believer to heal the sick and cast out demons. That's what he wants to do. It's easy. It was fun to explain to them, look, you don't have to strive. You don't have to work this up. It's not you making this happen. You can be at peace and enjoy this. After we would pray for a bunch of people and they'd be healed, I would point out to these prayer helpers that were actually the ones doing the praying, really, I'd point out to them, I'd say, look, you realize God is healing at your hands. And it was always like a revelation to them that this could happen. I'd say, see, all you have to do is let the Holy Spirit move and he'll heal people. He'll cast out demons. And so we left behind an army of people that are equipped to heal the sick and cast out demons. Everywhere we went on this trip, we prayed for people. And I don't mean just in the revival conference in the hotels. I mean in restaurants, gas stations, hotels. In one of the hotels we were staying in, we were having dinner together that evening. And one of the wait staff, there was a prophetic word for her. And part of that included that she was struggling with something God wanted to heal her. And so she let us pray over. She was healed. And then she went and got other people, said, hey, come. if you're sick, come. They'll heal you. And so eventually even the chef came out of the kitchen. He wanted to find out what was going on. And he was having, I think, back problems, if I remember right. And God not only touched and healed him, but the chef got saved and the chef got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was speaking in tongues when we left that place. And the lesson learned from this is everywhere we went, we were able to pray for people, give people prophetic words, and watch God do miracles. And I want to encourage you to do that. Go out into the marketplace. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, is there something I can pray for you for? Or don't be afraid to say, hey, I've got a word from the Lord for you. Can I tell you what it is? You'll be surprised how many times if you ask someone, can I pray for you? Or I have a word from the Lord for you. Can I give it to you? You'll be surprised how many times they'll say yes. And they'll be glad for you to pray for them. And you'll be surprised how many times God will move and do something miraculous. Another one of the lessons learned was how sometimes there would be people, and one day it was very prevalent. This happened several times in my line and in other people's lines. People would have what I call moving pains. In other words, they would come to you and they'd say, well, I've got a pain in my abdomen area. And so you'd lay hands on them and pray for them. Okay, how do you feel? Well, the pain's gone. But now I've got pain in my knees. Okay, well, let's pray for the knees. And then we'd pray for the knees. And how you do? Oh, that the knees are fine. Abdomen's fine. Now my head hurts. I got a real bad headache. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, this is not just sickness that you have. You have a spirit of infirmity. And what it's doing is it's moving around. It's trying to stay on you to be able to afflict you. And so we would deal with that. Now, a lot of times we had to start dealing with that by finding out if they had been visiting a witch doctor or been involved in the occult. And oftentimes that was the open door for this spirit of affliction, spirit of infirmity to come upon them. And so we would get them to pray a prayer of confession. I would pray absolution over them, make sure they were completely clean and forgiven. They'd renounced all the evil and any kind of evil they'd been involved with. And then when we would pray for them, guess what? Boy, all the pain would go and wouldn't come back, wouldn't move around because they'd been delivered and set free. It was fun to watch how light and happy they were after those prayers. When I say we prayed for them, I hardly ever prayed for anybody directly. It was all the people that I gathered around praying. They're the ones that really were doing the praying and even the deliverance. So when you start hearing people like that, they have pains in different places that are moving around, or you prayed for them last week and that was healed and now it's something else and they need prayer, and then the next week it's something else. Just listen to the Holy Spirit and see what He says. Maybe it's a spirit of infirmity and you need to deal with that as a healing of deliverance, not a prayer of commandment over a physical condition. You know, those folks are being tormented. It doesn't mean they're necessarily demon-possessed. They're probably not. They're just being oppressed and tormented by an evil spirit. You know, maybe they haven't done anything with the occult or anything like that. Maybe they're holding on to some unforgiveness, or it may be just completely innocent. The devil's just running over them, and all you got to do is drive the devil off and then teach them how to deal with it. We had a lady one time in a church that this was going on, and we taught her what was happening and how to deal with it, and eventually she got to where she just wasn't ever sick ever. One of the things we noticed on this trip, I mean, I've noticed it before, but I really saw it on this trip, was how God will anoint specific people for specific purposes at specific times to do specific things. Like, for instance, we had one of the team members, matter of fact, one of the ladies that had never been on a trip like this before. It seemed like the Lord was anointing her to heal eyes. We actually started sending people to her. If they were blind or had eye problems, we'd send them over to her and she'd pray for them. And it was just amazing to watch God heal. In one case, the guy has he'd lost one eye completely. The other eye was completely milky. There was nothing there. He could just barely see through that eye. She prayed for him and she watched as a pupil formed and an iris formed in that milky condition, and he was able to see clear across the field. He was seeing just fine. I first heard about this when I heard about a lady that likes to pray for wounded military veterans that have pieces of metal in their body, and the Lord actually takes the metal out and replaces it with bone. You know, they'd have trouble getting through airport metal detectors. Now all of a sudden they can go through. And this is just the way He likes to work through her. And that kind of thing, maybe it'll be there for a while, then maybe it'll change. It'll be something different. Specific folks, specific anointings for specific times. But you have to be flexible with that kind of anointing. For example, this team member that was praying for blind people and seeing almost every one of them completely healed, maybe she goes on a trip to Uganda again next year, and it may be something else. Maybe she'll be praying for deaf people or crippled people, or and she will see only minor success with blind people. Who knows? Keep in mind, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit doing whatever He does, and we've just got to yield to that and let Him do what He wants to. We were on a trip to Africa a few years ago, and one of the guys had this special anointing, only it was for deaf people. And I mean, everybody that was deaf that he prayed for immediately began to hear again. Anyway, it's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit moving through us. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit's just having fun with us. Hey, I'm going to let Him heal blind eyes this time. And then next time it's going to be deaf ears or whatever. If God starts doing this with you and you start receiving a special anointing for something and all of a sudden it stops or begins to slow down, don't worry about it. Start looking for something else. Okay, Lord, what do you got next for me? What newer thing are we going to do? That reminds me, speaking of praying for blind and deaf people, I got another lesson learned. The first couple of days, I would pray for folks that were blind or deaf and they would have improvement, but they wouldn't be completely healed. And at first, I was kind of getting disappointed. Like, Lord, what's going on? What's wrong with me, or what's wrong with these people, or what? I'd rather see them just completely healed right away. What's wrong? What I forgot about was that sometimes that's just how God does. He'll start the healing while you're praying for them, and then He'll complete the healing as they go. He'll complete the healing a day later, a week later, a month later. And so we're not supposed to get disappointed. We're supposed to say, okay, I'm going to continue in faith for whatever this is, whatever people I've been praying for. I'm going to continue in faith that God is going to continue his healing work until they are completely healed. That's the way God wants them anyways, completely healed. I was actually getting into some unbelief over this, but you know, God kind of spanked me a little bit and perked me up and got me thinking the right way. Later in the trip, I prayed, for example, for a woman that had a goiter, and you could see the goiter shrink as we prayed for her. It went down to about half size, but it didn't go down all the way. Well, instead of being disappointed and, oh my, what's wrong? I just praised God and told her, hey, God's going to continue that healing work as you go. You keep believing and agreeing with us and praising God, and you'll see a miracle or a miracle completed. I mean, this is like the lepers that Jesus prayed for, right? None of them got healed right then, but they were healed as they went. The Lord began to remind me of all the people we'd prayed for over the years that were healed along the way. Well, there was a blind girl we prayed for years ago in Uganda, and she complained. She was completely blind, and she said everything looked black. Well, we prayed for her for a while, and she got kind of upset. Well, now everything is white, but I still can't see. And we heard from her bishop that about 4 days later, man, all of a sudden her eyes popped open and she could see, and she's been evangelizing and leading worship and bringing people to the Lord and telling people about this miracle. So be encouraged. When you pray for someone, if God starts the work, just be encouraged. He's going to finish it. I mean, this is what he wants to do. The Lord showed me an example of exactly this from the previous year. Last year, a mother brought her 14-year-old boy into the prayer tent for us to pray for. He couldn't speak. He had gone mad, as she described it. He couldn't speak. He was unruly. He was very difficult to control. She had to hold on to him all the time, and he was just constantly moving around. We prayed for him. Prayed for him two or three times, and he calmed down, and he said a couple of words, and the mother walked out and with him. And the next day, she comes back, and I thought, okay, well, they want some more prayer. And she said, well, actually, I just want to tell you that God has started moving in him. I don't have to be around him all the time. He's not uncontrollable. He's saying some words, so I know God is healing. And so we praised the Lord and went on. Well, this year, when we were at the revival conference, it wasn't uncommon for Bishop Chuck, after he would teach, he would call people up to come in front of the platform, and then we would call out things that God was healing. And so there'd be a crowd of maybe 2,500 people in front of the platform. In one of those crowds, I saw this boy, and he was all by himself. He was praising God. He was talking with other people around him and just acting as normal as he could be. And I saw him, but it didn't register right then. It was later that night, and all of a sudden I realized, oh yeah, that was that boy. Praise the Lord. I wonder how long it took that boy to come back to being normal. Was it a day, a week, a year? I don't know. But let's not lose hope. Let me encourage you in another lesson learned. And this is related to people that have gone through something traumatic, maybe even like that boy who had gone mad, but they've had some kind of traumatic experience. Don't just assume that it's going to take years of counseling for them to get through this, because we've seen over and over God heal those people's minds instantly. And let me give you an example of this that happened while we were there in Uganda. We went to have dinner at one of the bishop's houses, and he had invited one of his parishioners to come. It was a middle-aged woman, and she had with her a girl that was 14. This girl wasn't saying anything. She was staying very close to her mother, just clinging to her. Her mother went to get something out of the kitchen, and boy, she jumped up with her and held onto her arms and went with her. What we discovered was that this girl had been raped about a year before. She had a baby from that rape, and she wouldn't take care of the baby. She'd become really completely dysfunctional. So mommy was there, and she was taking care of the baby and the 14-year-old. And so one of the things they wanted was for us to pray for this girl. Two or three of the ladies took her aside, her and her mother, and spend a few minutes, probably 20 minutes, praying with her, encourage her, giving her some prophetic words. And they saw some improvement, not a lot, but some improvement then, some release, you know. But we discovered from the bishop, we heard from him a few days later, that this girl had been completely healed. She was now nursing the baby, taking care of the baby, happy, talking to people, able to be alone and do things without her mother. It was a real miracle. It was a miracle of God healing a traumatic brain injury, essentially. Debbie and I have watched this happen many times where folks with traumatic disorders will be healed immediately. But you know what? Sometimes they're not. And so I want to encourage you that it's possible that they can be healed instantly. And so don't quit praying for them. Don't give up on them before you give God a chance. Let me tell you one last story, a lesson learned. This is from Debbie. She was in the prayer tent praying for folks. A lady came in. She was bent over nearly double. She hobbled in. She had to use a stick to support herself to walk in. And so when she got to Debbie, Debbie asked her first question, do you want to be healed and walk? And this lady said, yes, I do. And so Debbie said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to help you stand up and walk, and God's going to heal you. And this lady looked at Debbie like she was crazy. What do you mean? I can't walk. That's why I'm here. So Debbie took her and very gently kind of buoyed her up and started walking with her, supporting her. And with every step, Debbie would support her a little less. With every step, she would get a little bit straighter. They walked back and forth, went outside the tent, back inside the tent. And eventually, this lady was completely straight, walking without any difficulty at all. She didn't need her walking stick anymore. So Debbie said, since you're not going to need that walking stick anymore, how about if you give it to me? And this lady looked at Debbie and said, it's mine. Why would I give it to you? Debbie said, well, you're not going to need it anymore, and I want to take it back home, and I want to show it to people as a testimony of what God can do. And we got the stick to prove what God did. Anyway, the point is that sometimes you have to help people. You have to encourage them to try to do something that they couldn't do before in order to get them to start moving in faith so God can start and complete a healing work. Maybe they've got pain in a certain area. Encourage them to work through that, move through that, and give God a chance to heal them. Well, anyway, we could probably stay at this for hours telling stories about what happened this last time, but I wanted to share with you some of the lessons learned and encourage you as you're being a prayer minister, praying for folks in different ways to pray, in different ways to continue to believe and let God move. And for sure, keep praying for us that God will move through us in signs and wonders. God bless you.